Good morning. Please turn to Voices Together, and we are going to sing Come Away From Rush and Hurry. Now, you may say, well, we've done that before recently. And yes, we have. The idea is it's new, and we will, by singing it often, we'll get to learn it. So please turn to Voices Together, or watch off the screen, and we will sing together. Please stand.
That song was written with invisible ink, just in case you didn't have your special glasses on to see it. I was fortunate enough to have one of the purple hymn books up here, and then maybe some of you will be thinking, next time I come into the sanctuary, I am going to grab one of those purple hymn books, which are in the little bookshelf there on this side. Sometimes you'll need it, sometimes you won't. It's always good to be prepared. I hope you all feel welcomed already by one another as you came in the door, whomever you happen to meet. And I would like to formally welcome you to this gathered space. If you are here, and to those who are still trying to get on, it looks like we might be having a few issues. And if you think that we at Zion are the only ones, the only church who have these technical issues and we can't quite get it right, rest your souls. They are everywhere. Every pastor's gathering that we have together, Zoom, of course, everybody is complaining and distressing and becoming anxious about all of these glitches, and you think you have it in place, and then things don't work the way you expect it. So it's happening to everyone, in all churches, with all capacities, so it's not only us. For those who are gathered here, well, no, not just for us, but also for those at home, I want to use a psalm this morning as the welcome together. And listen carefully, because this psalm, which is Psalm 95, if you want to look in your Bibles, this psalm is kind of a command, and it's kind of an encouragement. And it is in response to this psalm that we are then going to, together, read the call to worship in the bulletin. So sometimes it's good to prepare ourselves for what we're going to read here in the bulletin. So I'm going to read Psalm 95 and listen to that and think to yourself, can I agree with that psalm, or can I respond positively and say, yes, this is what I am here to do? So that is the preparation to hear Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the heights of the mountains are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. Do not harden your hearts as at Meribah, as on the day at Massah in the wilderness, when your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work. For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they do not regard my ways. Therefore, in my anger I swore, they shall not enter my rest. So the first part, great invitation. Let's join together. Let's worship. Let's make noise. Second part, a warning in the first person from God's self. With that, taking heed to that warning, let's think as we look at this call to worship. And I'll read the light print, and you can read the dark print. This is our resolve, hearing the warning and saying, okay, here we are. This is why we have come together. As a shepherd seeks a lost sheep, so God seeks and saves the lost. Like a woman who searches for a lost coin until it is found, so God rejoices over one soul restored to wholeness. As a father receives a returning wayward son, so God welcomes us and lets the past be the past. Therefore, let us praise God in thanksgiving that we are received. Let us receive and welcome and rejoice over one another. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your invitation, and we accept. We have gathered here, we've taken the first step of being in the presence of your holiness. We have gathered here with our brothers and sisters, although so completely different from one another. But we raise our eyes and our hearts to you, and we ask for your blessing on our presence here. We ask for your blessing on our praise, on our worship, on our prayers, on everything that goes on in this space and at home. We wait to receive your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us rejoice and praise God together in song. Please turn in your old hymn books, the blue ones, number 76, Praise, I will praise you, Lord. This is quite familiar to you, both of these are. So please stand if you can and join me in singing. Thank you for your good singing. We will now turn to number 112. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name. We will sing it through twice.
You know how they say smells can evoke a lot of memories that you don't even know that you had? A certain smell comes and suddenly you're transported back to a different time and a different place. And songs can do the very same thing. In fact, as soon as I heard that introduction, I was transported back eons ago when I went to a David Meese concert back when I was still a teenager, and it was so exciting to drive to Winnipeg for a concert, and David Meese was the main act, but there was this no-name warm-up, and his name was Michael W. Smith. And like nobody knew who this guy was, and you thought, oh, okay, you just endure the warm-up to get to the real thing, right? And suddenly he's playing it, and this was definitely one of the songs, and we were blown away, and we thought, wow, he can really play the piano. Not as good as David Meese, but he's pretty good. And here we are today with, you know, his songs and our hymn books and being sung all over the world. So, yeah, that was, you just never know what is coming. And I find myself judging things at, you know, in the present day a little bit too harshly or with low expectations. And then things happen that are just amazing and grand and great that you didn't expect. I would like to change that in myself, to have higher expectations, to recognize things and say, wow, this is a wonderful thing. I hope it blossoms into something even greater. I'll just have to re-examine that. That's my sharing. Here, it's opportunities for sharing. And because I'm up here, I have the first opportunity. You also will have opportunities. I'll just highlight a couple of things in the bulletin, and then Bart will come around with the microphone. You'll see the box right on the first side of the bulletin announcements here that are portable. Is in 2 weeks. So not next weekend, but the weekend after that, we can gather here on Friday evening, on Saturday morning, on Saturday afternoon, and then Sunday for our service. And we will have Harry Huebner and on Zoom. So we will have him virtually. He will be very flat on this screen, but I'm sure his presentation will not be flat. For those of you who know him, and we have a lot to learn. If you have friends who you think could benefit or would like to just come for something new, invite them. Or if they want to just go online, invite them. And we'll have a very interesting weekend, I'm sure. Next page, at the top of the page, you see the announcement there for the quilting. It has changed a little bit. That's why I want to draw your attention to it. The gathering will resume this week. So on Tuesday, you may see more cars in the parking lot than have been for the last few weeks. We have held ourselves back, and now we are saying, well, if you feel confident and safe and comfortable, please come and join the ladies for the blanket making. That can be in the morning, that can be all day. And if you don't feel comfortable on Tuesday, as you know, 24/7, we're going to leave things set up and you can continue to contribute. So far, last week, there were 25 blankets that had been completed. So that's so far so good. That's a quarter of our goal. And you know, if you hadn't noticed, the quilting or the blanket making usually proceeds in a formal way for 10 weeks. So there's not a lot of weeks left, and if we want to hit 100, we'll need some more hands. And thank you to those anonymous elves who have come at other times too. I notice, because I always go down there and check and see how many quilts have been moved around and things. I like to wander around the building when no one is here. Next Sunday is our radio broadcast. Go look under the Pray For box, and you'll notice, as Elaine mentioned last week, the Pray For poster. Do you want to say some more? She wants to say some more. But before you allow her, look underneath that announcement to the Explore. For the few of you here who are over 55. I think there's one or two. You can find ongoing classes at CMU. You can go online and find a few classes, no assignments, no examinations, but you can learn some stuff. And there are very interesting courses that are being offered. And it's not every day, it's not all day. It's just an hour or two out of your week. And I think it's quite fascinating. I'm very interested in a few of those. You'll see the announcement for the books to borrow at the bottom of that page. Okay, take it away, Elaine. Else before... Okay, let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
I would like you now to turn in your hymn books to number 355, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us. Please stand if you can. Number 355.
Good morning. It's good to be with you again today. As Lois was mentioning Michael W. Smith, I know I'm a little bit older than Lois, and so I was taking a youth group to Regina, or I can't remember, maybe it was Moose Jaw, and Michael W. Smith was opening for Amy Grant, who was big at that time. And I just remember saying, this guy's going to go places. He's good. And now when I walk, I have my headphones on, and I said to Carol, you know, there are some songs on my mix that I'm going to get rid of because I don't like them when they come on. But when Michael W. comes on, I'm always encouraged, and I always like that he's definitely staying. And thinking about music, I enjoy music a lot. And coming into town, I was listening to CBC, listening to choral concert, and there was a mass by J.S. Bach, which I really enjoyed. And then there was a song that Marcial led the Prairie Spirit with, and I can't remember the name of it right now, but it just struck a chord with me. I really, really enjoyed it. And I enjoyed the prelude here this morning, too. Appreciate that, Grace. Usually when I come here, I have spoken about something that I have seen MCC doing in various countries of the world. I'm not with the MCC board anymore. I'm not going to tell you about what they're doing. But there was another country that Carol and I visited just a few years ago, and that was the country of Israel. I'm going to show you a few pictures that I took and maybe a couple that I didn't. I didn't take this one. But first of all, I'd like to read the scripture that I want to be speaking on. Oh, I can take this off. So, if you have your Bibles and would like to follow, oh, I've got it up here. You can turn this on and then go to the next one. I tell you the truth. The man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. Now, maybe that's a little bit hard to see. This picture was taken near the border of Israel, Lebanon, and Syria, just north of the Sea of Galilee. From the right vantage point, one can see for miles. The topography is so different from here. I can see how much of the land is suited to sheep grazing rather than intensive agriculture. We understood also how stoning could be a real option for killing someone. There were rocks everywhere. Even though I don't have a picture of shepherds in the field, we saw them. Around Bethlehem in the Palestinian region, we saw where the shepherds could have been keeping their flocks when Jesus was born. In much of the region, the hills are steep and rugged, and the grass very sparse and limited. Sometimes it looked as if there was no vegetation, There was a real need to keep moving the flocks over vast regions to give them enough to eat. This, in Bible times, was the job of the shepherd, who would carry a staff or a scrip or a bag in which he carried his food, and a sling as a weapon of offense and defense. Remember David's sling? And he was good at using it. It's interesting, I'd never thought about this verse before, but I saw in Judges 20, verse 16 says, and this had to do with fighting in the war, there were chosen 700 left-handed men, each of whom could sling a stone at a hare and not miss. And that was H-A-I-R. So wild animals or robbers could steal a sheep, and a person needed to be alert. Now, in the Old Testament, God is often pictured as a shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23, I shall not want. You led your people like a flock, Psalm 77, verse 20. We, thy people, the flock of thy pasture, will give thanks to thee forever, Psalm 79, 13. And Psalm 95, verse 7, which we just read, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And there are many more references. Now, in the New Testament, the same picture continues. Jesus is the good shepherd who will risk his life to seek and to save the one straying sheep, from Matthew 18. In 1 Peter 2:25, he is the shepherd of the souls of people. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. In the village, sheep were kept in a common pen with an actual door that the person in charge would unlock in the mornings, and the shepherd would call out his flock, it says, by name, maybe like brown leg or black ear, or he would lead his flock out to pasture. It reminds me of God in Isaiah 43, where he says, I have called you by name, you are mine. The shepherd's life lights up the picture of the good shepherd whose sheep hear his voice and whose care is for his flock. Then out in the fields, when the shepherd and the flock are far from town, at night the sheep would enter a fold, an open space surrounded by a wall, maybe a stone wall. Here, the shepherd would place his rod across the entrance, and each sheep would pass under it. The shepherd could examine the sheep for injury. Then the shepherd could lie across the opening during the night and literally be the door. No sheep could get in or out except over his body. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, I am the door, or I am the gate for the sheep. Verse 7. Whoever enters through me will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. Now this coming in and going out is a Jewish way of describing a life that is absolutely secure and safe. Through him, said Paul, we have access to the Father. Jesus opens the way to God. Jesus came to show what God was like, not someone to be afraid of, but someone to love and to trust, someone who can lead a person to find what they're really looking for. What are people really looking for? I'll attempt to develop that point later. In verse 10, Jesus says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. He is contrasting his purpose with that of those who wanted to bring in a golden age by way of insurrection. They had a political agenda to bring utopia to the current situation. Can political utopia ever be achieved? In a Jordan B. Peterson podcast, he quotes Dostoevsky in Notes from the Underground, launching a criticism of the notion of a political utopia. I quote, "If you give people everything they wanted, they had only cake to eat and sat in warm pools, and they would busy themselves with a continuation of the species. The first thing they would do, maybe after the first week, they would go half insane and simply smash everything so they would have something to do." He continues, "The utopian notion that if you had all the material stuff you wanted, what would you be? What would you do? Sit on the couch? Watch TV? You might start cutting yourself just for entertainment." No, utopia will not give us meaning and satisfaction. It's simply untenable in this life. Jesus wasn't referring to the prophets and heroes when he mentioned thieves, but to adventurers who, as William Barclay says, were continually arising in Palestine and promising that if people would follow them, they would bring in the golden age. They believed that men would have to wade through blood to the golden age. Josephus speaks of there being 10,000 disorders in Judea, tumults caused by men of war. He speaks of men like the Zealots, who didn't mind dying themselves or slaughtering their own loved ones if their hopes of conquest could be achieved. Jesus, on the other hand, was saying, "There have been men who claimed that they were leaders sent to you from God. They believed in war, murder, and assassination. Their way leads forever farther and farther away from God. My way is the way of love and life. And if you'll only take it, it leads ever closer and closer to God. I have come that they might have life and have it to the full, or have it more abundantly." Verse 10. This is a new way. It is God's way to abundance. So, what is the abundant life? I maybe start by telling you what it is not. When I was entering Bible school years ago, I remember thinking, "I like a good time. I like fun. I had a lot of fun in my childhood, and I just wanted that to continue. It was my goal to be happy, to enjoy friends, to have things. And I have, or I have had, many of the things a person could want. But over the years, I've learned that aiming at fun or at happiness is actually a lousy personal goal. This doesn't bring true happiness. True happiness is not something you get by aiming at it. Jacqueline Andrews, writing in The Western Producer, says, "Happiness is the byproduct of any number of personal challenges confronting the path on life's journey." And I add that it's a byproduct of obedience to God. We must have some sense that we are contributing to the well-being of someone besides ourselves. It is something spiritual, maybe even philosophical. Could it be that abundance and true happiness are the same thing, or joy, or fulfillment? Then how do you get it? Peterson suggests that you always have one foot on one side of yourself that is in the known, in your experience, and the other one in the unknown or in the possible. And to be truly alive, you have to be pushing from one foot to the other. That's where you find meaning. If you're living only in the known, life is too secure and boring. And if you're living only in the unknown, it's too confusing. You want to be in the unknown enough so that you keep updating yourself constantly. I know this is a problem for us older people. I never used to think of myself that way, but that's where I am now. It's tough to be learning new things and thinking new thoughts. Just ask our son, Michael. He will tell you it's hard to teach me new things on the computer or to understand some of his ideas even. In learning to be a teacher, they taught us to teach from the known to the unknown. Then too, we need a purpose or an aim. Aims like graduating from high school, or trade school, or university, or getting a job, or advancing in your job, or looking after your children, or looking after grandchildren, or retiring, or volunteering. Aims like serving your fellow human, your community, or sharing your relationship with God. Again, Peterson says, we need to know where we're going, what we're doing, and why. And when we attain something, the game kind of stops and we need to choose another aim, especially retirement. The journey is the reward, not the destination. And the nobler the aim, the better the life. If you don't have a noble aim, then you have nothing but shallow, trivial pleasures, and they don't sustain you. And that's not good, because life is difficult. There's so much suffering. It's so complex. This brings me back to the abundant life, and I'm going to share some more further personal reflections. And I've mentioned this to you before. When we retired from farming 2 years ago, our family donated the use of 125 acres of cropland to Grow Hope, a program of MCC and the Canadian Food Grains Bank. And for those of you unfamiliar with Grow Hope, it's a joint venture of farmers and urban people to help end world hunger. People like you donate a suggested $300 per acre for inputs to grow a crop or a part or multiple. Then our neighbors help seed and spray and harvest. The crop is sold and the Canadian government matches these up to 4 to 1. Then food is distributed in the receiving country in areas of drought or turmoil. And often food is traded for work to improve people's own ability to secure food. Ike and Grace have witnessed these harvests, and I believe some of you have donated. We're so grateful. I've seen pictures of a harvest in your foyer. Over the past 2 years, with the donations and with the government grants, I believe Canadian Food Greens Bank projects have received over $500,000. Having done some traveling, I've seen need in various areas of the world. We are so fortunate to have what we have. And to share with the world is one way to show our gratitude to God. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Randy Friesen formerly of Multiply, that's the MB Mission Board, puts it this way. The fruit of walking with God and his revelation is not just for your own benefit. It's meant to bless our community, our nation, and the nations of this world. We have been blessed to be a blessing. I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Abundance is not a quantity, but a quality of life. Now, that's probably too small for you to read. Pastor Marvin Seaborg writes in the Herbert Herald, abundance is that quality of life that lets us get in touch with the deepest part of ourselves. It connects us with the divine, with the holy, with what's good, true, and beautiful in this world. It's not so much about getting something we don't have, but living more fully into what is already present. So that abundance is love that leads to love. It's joy that leads to joy. It's peace that leads to peace. It's kindness that leads to kindness. It's stepping more deeply and more fully into your own life and into the life of another. It never adds to the pain of the world. Abundance is Jesus' way of being in this world. It is the presence of God lived through your life and my life. How have I tried to step more deeply into my own life? By taking care of my body, eating more fresh vegetables, walking at least 2 miles a day, and cycling 4 when the weather permits. By reading scripture and learning to know God and myself better. By reading good books and taking some online classes through CMU. By learning not to be so hard on myself. By starting cello lessons when the choir was unable to practice. By being virtuous or imitating God in his character. How have I tried stepping into the life of another? I found the greatest abundance when working with youth, counseling at youth camp, serving the church or community, volunteering with West Bank Bible Camp, or serving on the board of MCC, or participating in Grow Hope. And I'm sure it's the same for people working at the youth center here in Swift Current. Or many of you, it's sewing blankets or volunteering at the thrift stores. It's Marcia leading the choir, or any of you serving in any number of ways. One of MCC's strategic directions is to increase the capacity of the church and other partners as they support and equip vulnerable people, especially people who have been uprooted and displaced. Our family, together with 2 other families originating in Maine Center, is involved in bringing a refugee family here to Canada from Iran. This family converted to Christianity from Islam and had to flee the country when their secret place of worship was compromised. Their lives are now on hold in Indonesia. We have the funding in place, in cash and pledges, and now we're waiting for government clearance in Singapore, which just seems to take an awfully long time. This adventure, too, brings me joy, and I have been totally amazed at how generous people are. One elderly couple gave us $1,000 and said, "We also sponsored 2 of your acres of Grow Hope." Back to Grow Hope. I was operating one of the combines in the fall of 2020. And was coming down a slight hill on the first pass. Out of the many hours of music on my phone, it randomly selected Handel's Hallelujah Chorus that played loudly in the cab. My arms went up in thanksgiving as I realized, with the amazing crop, with all the neighbors helping and community people watching, with the inputs being covered, with how this is going to impact people, this is something bigger than myself. This is the abundant life. May I suggest to you, no aim, no abundant life. Don't know where you're going, what you're doing and why, no abundant life. Serving only yourself and not others, no abundant life. No connection to the shepherd, no abundant life. Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and have it to the full. He is the one who brings this life." What does your life look like? What is your aim? How could God, through his Spirit, lead you into greater abundance? May we step into our own lives and the lives of others more deeply and courageously through the struggles and challenges so that we might find the true happiness and abundance that God has for us.
Thank you, Dan, for speaking this morning and for redefining the word abundance to us. And certainly as I've been downsizing, I've realized that a lot of the stuff, like what do you do with it, and that it's not all that important. Anyway, we are going to now sing hymn number 599 in our old hymn books, He Leadeth Me. And you can please stand if you are able. 599, He Leadeth Me.
Shall we pray? Lord God, we are so grateful that you have blessed us in so many ways. We thank you that you have been here in the lives of people gathered. You have comforted, you have consoled, you have encouraged, you've blessed in physical blessings, you've blessed with families. We thank you for the abundance that you allow and that you give so freely. Help us to live and progress in our own abundance because you have so much to offer. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen.
I would like you now to turn in your Voices Together hymn book or look up on the screen. Turn to number 849. We, your people, sing your praises. Hallelujah. Okay.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 1151-7309. All rights are reserved.